Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the Grand Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. Let's do this thing. I am Morenci. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff still going on. Right now, and sports just sort of, sports do seem meaningless. You hear this at times, and I got to be honest, I never really bought into that before because it'd be like, yeah, it's not really meaningless. I've got money on the game. It's a business. The show must go on. And, you know, listen, you guys know, anyone who's followed me knows I am a show must go on type of guy. Like, I've done shows like immediately following funerals, deaths, everything else in between. But you know, this really is a different time. And I tweeted this out. I think it was on Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday actually, when the protests really started to go, and I could sense it. Listen, guys, I'm 49. So I've been around a while, and you know, I happened to live in Los Angeles when Rodney King got attacked. Literally, I was watching on KTLA like news that night. I had Rodney King on my show subsequently after. I was there during the Rodney King riots. I actually left like a day before the OJ riots, literally and figuratively, like a day or two before the OJ riots. And, you know, luckily enough, I left New York a couple of days before these riots. But I tweeted out there's something different about this. It started in Minneapolis, and I had a couple of people when I stated this anger is different. I had, you know, jackass kids that were probably like 22 and stuff. Oh, this is nothing. I guess you don't know what happened in LA before. It's like, shut up, kid. I live there. All right. Like, I could tell, though, it was a different type of anger, and I didn't even know. Sort of like I knew the virus was real, and I didn't, you know, I knew the virus was going to be bad, but I didn't realize how bad. And I knew the anger was bad. I didn't realize how bad, and I didn't realize it was going to turn into a nationwide, like, week-long thing. It doesn't seem to have any end in sight right now, and we were all excited about, ooh, the NBA is going to announce their return later in the week. I'm not even sure they will. I mean, I know they're voting on Thursday, but the NBA is not a tone-deaf league. I mean, no one wants, like, really? You imagine being a commissioner and holding a press conference right now? Oh, guys, yeah, we're back. Now's not the time, but now is the time to talk to Murphy's Law. And I guess it's fitting right now, pardon the pun. And Jimmy Murphy steps up and Jimmy, it's always a pleasure. I wish we were just talking about hockey and basketball and, ooh, the NHL playoff format and all that, but America is burning, Jimmy.
Yeah, you keep wondering, I mean, right? You wonder when you're going to wake up one of these months of this year, 2020, and it's just going to have been a bad dream, but it's real. And it keeps getting worse. And, you know, part of me, I don't think the word is happy, but part of me is okay with the fact that everything is paused right now, because it has given us the chance to really wake up to the reality of the culture we live in. Because as you were saying, you know, we move on. People die. I mean, I was on the air the day after my dad died, you know, and
yeah.
We just keep pushing. We keep pushing. But we don't have anything to keep pushing right now. We don't have anything to keep moving on to right now. So it's forced us to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our brains to what is going on in this country. And it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, usually, Dave, by the time, you know, I mean, by the time a few days go by, usually these things pass, right? And I remember the LA riots as well. And, you know, for the mainstream culture, it would just pass and we'd move on. Okay, well, we did our part saying everybody should be equal and all this. And it's just a bunch of bullshit. Well, now nobody has time to express that phony empathy that they always do. You either express it and you mean it, and you're going to have to stand by it and maintain it right now, or you're going to be exposed for the fraud that you are. And unfortunately, we're seeing right now how many frauds there are in this society. I can't tell you how many people I've had to delete off Facebook or block from Twitter. And, you know, I have some people that like to tend to give me advice with the work I do. And, you know, you should be careful about how what you say here and expressing your opinion. You might lose customers and you might lose readers. I don't give a shit if I lose them. I don't want them. I don't want their money. I don't want anything to do with them. So I'm going to say what I feel, and I'm going to back it up. And if you don't like it, too bad. That's the way I look at it right now, because I believe standing up for what's right is the right thing to do right now. And what's right is to stand by these protesters. And what we saw yesterday with that piece of trash that tries to act as a president in our country, and you're lucky you left our country, Gabe, because it's just we are up in flames, like you said. And to see what he did yesterday, ordering peaceful protesters, okay? I understand the looters. I understand all that. You want to come down hard on them? I'm all for that. But to order violence against peaceful protesters so you could go and do a photo op and hold a Bible that you've never read in your life. Oh, and by the way, the last time you went to church was in January 2017. And you sit there like nothing's going on and then try to say, look at how brave I am. I went out there. Yeah, you didn't go out there on your own. Step out there on your own.
Jimmy Murphy, obviously expressing some deep-rooted emotion now. And as you stated, you know, people will normally recognize a wrong for a couple of days and then say, okay, you know, now it's time to move on. I think the fact, as you stated, nobody is, you know, everything's closed. Nobody's working right now. There's nothing going on, so people's focus is just on the news. But, you know, there is a deep-rooted anger. You know, there's a deep-rooted anger. As you stated, coming from all sides here, from the injustice to how politically it's being handled right now. And, you know, really, there doesn't really seem to be any near end in sight here, right? I don't think the protests are going to be stopping anytime soon. And that's the thing. You have to differentiate between the peaceful protesters. And, you know, I've been tweeting about this. During the day is when you have the real movements, right? Like, right. George, you know, George Floyd's brother isn't going to the scene of the crime at 3 a.m, guys. He's going in the afternoon. And, you know, something my grandfather told me years ago, and it's true, you know, nothing good can happen after midnight. Now, I used to kid with them, well, let's make that 2 or 3 a.m., all right? You know, ha, 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 just because that's when the bars close. But, you know, it is true. In these times, nothing good is going to happen at nighttime, and it just leads to more violence. And what happens is it's sad. And you know what? It's real tragic is there's been various other people that have died since then. You know, there was a kid that got shot outside of a place in Nebraska. He's dead. Mm-hmm. A protester got shot and killed last night in Louisville. And I guess the cops in Louisville were actually laughing about it on Facebook. It's like, yep. They don't learn.
God bless the mayor. He fired them.
Yeah, I know. And also, tragically, I saw the video. People are just like running cops down in the streets of New York right now.
That's not right.
In cars. Exactly. Like, the cops in New York didn't kill George Floyd. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Listen, I just lived in New York. But this is where my experience is different than others. Because I'm there. And, you know, I was in New York for 2 years. And never had one bad experience with the NYPD, Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
Yet I'm white. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
And it would be naive of me to believe, and not just naive, I'd be lying. I saw it firsthand, bro. right? I used to see it firsthand. Yep. You know, like I saw like three or four black teenagers that were smoking weed on the sidewalk. Dude, there was like eight bicycles, four cars rolled up. Like you would have thought they caught Bin Laden on the corner. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, there's 50 white people smoking blunt standing there on their cell phone like it's basically legal. Right? And you see the double standard. There is a double standard. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, listen, you're white. I guarantee you a white cop's been a jerk to you before, right? like the cops are jerks sometimes. They can be. Not all of them are. But I sense that this is just past race. And you brought it up. And our boy Cam Stewart's nodding. Yeah, he's like, yeah, white guys have been, yeah.
White female cop.
Exactly.
Used force against me. Like, she put my head in the ground, beat me up, and they didn't give me water when I asked for it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not just race, but as you stated, you know, you got all upset about Trump, Jimmy. That's what I'm saying. There's anger on a lot of different levels here. And it seems like it's more just about George Floyd. It just seems like people are fed up, Jimmy. They're fed up, they're pissed off with everything. It's just, you know, with inequality, with the poverty, with the, I think the mockery sort of much. That's, you know, that's the whole thing. Not all, you know, and it's like, cops are like people, guys. If you have a room of 100 people, you're going to have, you know, 50 really nice people, 25 indifferent people, 10 evil people, right? Like, if there's just an, it's like a reflection of society. Everybody, but there just seems to be a deep rooted disappointment and anger and everything in the system. And then on top of it, like just today, like how tone deaf can you be, Jimmy, that the Minneapolis, the police chief, the police union guy came out and said that, you know, basically George Floyd was a violent criminal that sort of brought it upon himself with his previous record. It's like, dude, they haven't even had the funeral yet, and you're already into this mode. Like, they're not sorry. That's always the point. The other three cops still aren't arrested, Jimmy. Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, there's been thousands of protesters arrested, but they can't arrest these other three cops that were part of the murder.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I'm with you.
Like, man, they don't have a problem tear gassing the bishop last night. You talked about the church. The bishop. The woman that runs the church, she's like the head, like she's the biggest like religious power in the region. She got tear gas last night.
Yeah.
And she said she stood with Black Lives Matter who were peaceful. Like she stressed. She said they weren't causing problems. It was a peaceful gathering. I got tear gas in front of my own church.
It's unreal. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I saw my buddy Kevin Weeks, you know, was on NHL Network, former NHL goalie, and I didn't see what led to it, but apparently somebody had come at him and said, you know, you need a pipe down, and he just, in a much more constructive way than I just did, but he went off on the guy and said, listen, buddy, I had bananas thrown at me on the ice in Montreal, so don't tell me I'm overreacting here. And, you know, I remember, guys, I went to an all-boys Catholic school just outside of Boston, and I'll be the first to tell you, I'm from Boston, I'm proud to be from here, but I'm not going to lie that this is one of the most racist cities, maybe the racist city in the Northeast, but one of the most racist in the United States of America. And, you know, we had a guy by the name of Mike Greer. He went on to have a great NHL career. He's the assistant coach of New Jersey Devils right now. And I just remember some of the shit he had to deal with, you know, and I was a little guy, but I always stood up and you know, he said, Murph, you don't have to get my back. Don't worry about it, man. I got it. I mean, Mike's a pretty big guy. He didn't really need the little leprechaun coming to his rescue here, but you know, I couldn't stand it. And goes back to what you're saying right now about those cops that just stood there and did nothing. They're just as guilty. When you sit there and you witness racism or you witness a murder and you don't do anything, you're just as guilty. And I think you should be charged. I don't know what the proper charge would be there, but you should go away for at least 10 years when you sit there and don't do nothing and try to help that guy as he's sitting there saying, I can't breathe, and you watch him die. That, to me, it's just you're a complete coward for doing that.
Yeah, and I don't know what the delay is with the charges. Like, they don't delay when they charge other people, and it's just the apathy of the other three police officers to watch somebody die like that and not realize that, hey, this isn't going to end well for anybody.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, it's the the ultimate word is cowardly, right? Like that's the ultimate word, that is just cowardly. And just imagine, though, like people talk, you know, they always throw accessories around. You see, you know, when they want to charge people with stuff, they tag whatever the hell they want to charge. Like basically,
right.
You know, if you're a getaway driver, you're in a car outside and somebody goes and robs the bank, you're part of it. You know, these guys are an accessory. So imagine if a gang of four guys had a cop down, one of the four guys kept his knee down to the cop's throat, killed the cop. Would the other three guys get charged or just the one guy? Right?
Exactly.
Like, come on. And then would they say, well, we got to figure out what to charge them with? No, they'd say you're all charged with murder. Like, it would be point blank. It'd just be point blank. You're all charged with murder. And that's that. Yeah, like that's, you know, and it's being lost in this. Like, I don't know how much longer they're going to pretend and go on. But as I stated, you know, there's no empathy. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem. At least like to listen, right? And that's, to me, that's the problem with the leadership, that even if you fake it, Jimmy, right? Like, you know, even pretend, like, I don't really think any of these politicians are genuine, but at least pretend to listen as opposed to state, well, we're going to dominate and tear gas everybody.
Yeah.
Well, basically, listen, man, he promised to bring the 50s back, right? He wanted to leave it to Beaver. Well, we got it. I had somebody on yesterday that was born in 1962. He actually said, he goes, Gabe, this is like growing up again. He said, it's like I'm in the 60s all over again.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, it's interesting. You see all these Trump supporters saying, oh, well, you're going to have Biden be your president. Look, I'm going to be the first to say I don't really like Biden as a candidate, but anything is better than what we have. And, you know, as I say, after what happened last week when, you know, Biden kind of let a little gas go on live TV, hey, I'd rather have a guy that farts out of his ass and shits out of his mouth. That's the way I look at it. And that's all Trump's done since he's gotten office.
I think the moral of the story is the whole people need to look in the mirror and stop being run by, you know, they're, look, dude, the two of them, their combined age is like 150. Like, you know what I mean? But it's not like, oh, but it's wisdom. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, like Biden's having a nap right now. And Trump is, you know, Trump's kind of, you know, he's Trump.
Sniffing Adderall?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't understand it. Like, people need, like, there needs to be younger leadership in the world. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we're being, and I always said this too.
I hope the next generation steps up. I mean, I don't think, you know, is us.
Well, it's going to take a little
while right now. But we need, and I'm not even talking millennials. I'm talking about whatever the hell they call the generation after that. I don't know. But those are people, they need to step up right now, you know?
They will.
And I seriously fear for my daughter's 8 years old, and I don't want her growing up in this world. That's what scares me most. I think about what she's going to have to deal with and the stuff she's being corrupted with.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It is what it is. And, you know, people can say, oh, well, why don't you stick to sports, Jimmy? And we don't come here to listen. We want a distraction. Well, I'm sorry. I'm distracted now. Sports is irrelevant right now. This is life. And you know, we need to all come together and figure out a solution, and ignoring it and just sticking to sports isn't the answer to me.
Yeah, I can't disagree. As somebody that loves sports as much as I do and was so excited for the NBA to be coming back, I tweeted out a couple of days ago, for those who, because I saw, oh, we need sports now more than ever. I said, you know, and they said as a distraction. And I said, you know, being distracted is how we got where we're at right now.
Exactly. That's right? A great point.
Yeah. Like, being distracted is like how we are where we are right now. It doesn't mean that I don't want the NBA to come back on July 31st.
Yeah. And I want hockey. I mean,
yeah. But
we're both losing money.
But as we stated, and I, you know, I think here's another good way that I put it. It's like saying, you know, imagine like we were kids and you came over to my house and you said, hey, Morency, let's play some road hockey in your driveway. And I said, yeah, but my house is on fire right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you know what I mean? It's not time to like play hockey or like shoot hoops. It's like, no, you know what? The house is on fire. We got problems. And all kidding aside, they were talking about like, oh, yeah, like, oh, we'll play baseball in the stadiums. Yeah, what stadiums? Like, America's streets are being overrun right now. But anyways, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Morency Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And, you know, you said something about having a kid. And at times, you know, I think about that. I'm like, man, my life has gone by so fast. And I can't believe that how old I am right now. And it's like, man, I don't think I'm going to have a kid. And, you know, then I sort of get deep. And I have brief moments when I think about it where it saddens me. But then other times, and to be honest, it's almost like more of the time, I see the world that we're in now. And then I just sort of imagine, like, what are we going to be in 30 years, bro? Like, you know, robots, deep fakes, fake video, this, like surveillance, drones, China's going to run the world, like poverty, low wages forever. Like, the future's not, like, you notice, Jimmy, like, the world's not getting better. You know what I mean? Like, we don't build towards this paradise nirvana, like, you know, the future movies of, you know, glass towers in the sky and flowers and, ooh, you just lie in this tanning bed and you're suddenly healthy again and all this type of stuff. It's like we're going backwards. Like, here we are in 2020. We're in the middle of a plague that is the biggest plague since the Spanish plague 100 years ago, the Spanish flu. And you know what they did? You know what the protocol was then? Social distance and wear masks. Like, we learned nothing in 100 years. Like, we're nowhere ahead, like, of anything. Racially, like, we're closer to a civil war now. Like, we're closer to the civil war now than we ever were since there was the end of the civil war. You know what I mean? Like, we're going backwards.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, and you bring up that, you know, they always say history repeats itself, right? Well, I think everything you're saying proves that. And you brought up the Spanish flu there. What happened with the Spanish flu? Oh, they didn't pay attention to it and they ignored it, and there was a second wave, and even more people died. And you know, last I checked, that's kind of what's going on in our culture right now. And I'll tell you, I mean, one thing that's kind of not being spoken about, and I understand it because, you know, we're talking about what matters right now, and we're talking about the most important thing, and that is, you know, racial justice and equality right now. But at the same time, let's not forget what might come of these protests physically and these riots physically, and that's a shitload of COVID cases. You know, so not only did that coward that killed Floyd kill him, think about what's derived from that murder. Think about all the COVID cases that are going to come out of these protests and these riots, because I don't care if you wear a mask. All these people are jammed in like sardines right now, and there's a lot of saliva being expressed, a lot of stuff flying everywhere. I mean, this is just a shitstorm. Everything about it is a shitstorm. And, you know, what next? That's the way I'm starting to wake up every day. Okay, what's next? Oh, that's right. It's like bird flu, right?
I tweeted about, yeah.
I saw your tweet.
There's now a threat of a bird flu that'll wipe out half of humanity.
Like, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. It just keeps coming. I don't know. Like, honestly, like, we're not even at halftime yet. And here we are in 2020 that you just think, nah, there's no way, like, that can happen or this can happen.
I really don't know. Like, it's just so unpredictable and over the top, that stuff that you can't, that, you know, we can't predict. I mean, I'm hoping not nuclear war, some, you know, global conflict, it could be coming. I mean, don't think the rest of the world right now doesn't see a weakened America. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
Like, we're, and I'm just saying geopolitically behind the scenes, yeah, China's going to town right now. They're doing whatever the hell they want to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've got their own problems. They can't stop us, right? That's why I said the other day, when Elon Musk sent that little stupid piece of plastic to space, and everyone was all excited, USA, USA. I'm thinking, you guys have no idea. Like, China already have, like, space stations up there and, like, portals. Yep. And, like, it's like Star Wars up there with these guys. Like, they're so ahead of the curve, no one even realizes.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit tone deaf. But, you know, speaking of tone deaf, I want to get this out there, Gabe, is that, you know, we've seen a lot of these sports teams are releasing statements, and, you know, they are what they are. I mean, I don't really take them seriously. And I'm gonna write a column. I'm not happy with the Bruins. I mean, they just released one today. Finally, I don't know what took them so long. And then, you know,
I'm surprised they did. They're the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I know. Considering.
I don't. Be a jerk about it, but.
No.
Like I said, I haven't noticed. There's no demonstrations in Boston, right?
Oh no, there were here. We had riots here on Sunday night. Were completely fueled by neo-Nazi groups that posed as Antifa.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I saw a video of the Boston cops planting bricks and stuff. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was great stuff.
But I want to credit those players that are coming out right now, Marenzi, like Jonathan Toews and Tyler Seguin and Zach Smith. I mean, I am so proud of those guys that they took the time to actually absorb this and think about it and said, I don't give a fuck what my team says or what they're going to think of me writing this. I'm writing it. And I thought that – I should say it's courage, because you shouldn't have to have courage to do the right thing, right? You should just do the right thing. But it was refreshing to see the hockey world, which I think arguably is the most racist sports league out there, you know, to see players in that world and say, look, you know, guy, I think it was Zach Smith. He says, I'm just some rich white boy. I have no idea what's going on here right now. And I'm guilty of not taking the time earlier in my life to learn what some people go through and the racism, the inequality and the prejudice and just the abuse they take. I'm horrible for not taking the time to do that. And I'm right with them. I tweeted it last week. I said, you know what? I was one of those guys who wasn't happy with Colin Kaepernick when he first started the kneeling, and maybe it's because I come from a family of Marines, and I took it as an insult at first, but I didn't step back to really look at it for what it was. And he was right. And I'm sitting here again right now. I'll tell you, I was completely wrong, and God bless him for what he did. I'll tell you what, this country could use a lot more kneels right now than the plastic bullets and the tear gas that's flying around.
Jimmy Murphy kicking it with us, and you know, hockey's in an interesting place, and, you know, I want to get your take on that, being, you know, someone that covers the Boston Bruins, about Tyler Seguin, obviously no longer there, but Seguin, I thought, was actually genuine in his, I don't know if you saw his statement.
He really was, yeah.
Yeah, he basically admitted, you know what he said? He basically said, listen, I'm a white kid, Canadian, that grew up playing hockey. I never thought about social issues. He said, I wasn't affected. I never thought about it. He said, he's basically saying, you know, living in the States, living in Texas. And he actually said, this stuff brings tears to my eyes. I don't understand. Like, why are you killing these people like this all the time? And it was actually genuine, which I'll give him props for it. And you can't force this stuff on people, right? And as you stated, Jimmy, you can totally tell, like, the Washington Wizards basketball team, you can tell it was real. Like, their team statement was like, we will not shut up and dribble. Like, status quo is no longer, like, going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you can believe that. The Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts family, big donors to Trump. It was a half-ass, say, can we, you know, we believe in peace type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can sort of read between it. Hockey's in a weird spot. And, you know, I grew up in a hockey family. My grandfather played on Team Canada, played for the Canadians, played for the Montreal Maroons, Royals.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I played, my uncle played, my cousin played. So, you know, I'm growing up in a white hockey family. And my family isn't racist. Like, they're not racist. I think, you know, some of my uncles are sort of that Al Bundy sort of,
yeah,
you know, types. And I think hockey guys, I think race, and listen, I had black players on my team when I was younger in the 70s and 80s and stuff. And it was worse for them, but it was bad for all of us. Like, people used to say crazy stuff to everybody in those days, right? Mm-hmm. But like I said, there is, just because there's not a lot of black players, so they sort of stick out more. But I don't think hockey people are inherently racist. I just think, like, they're out of touch. They grow up, yeah. Dude, if you grow up on a farm in Saskatchewan, bro, you don't, you know what I mean? You listen to Eminem and stuff, and your race relations is, there's a black guy on your team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not exposed to this stuff. Like in Canada, it's like natives are the ones that get like mistreated and killed and like beat up by cops all the time. So, you know, hockey, it's a weird situation, but also they're in a weird spot now because they are known as just sort of, they're the whitest sport, so to speak. You know what I mean? And if they're silent, then it's sort of like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. These guys don't care. Hockey. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they care. And then when they say something, people sort of roll their eyes. Like, yeah, yeah, like you guys, you know. But it's nice to see Sagan. And I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think Crosby should say something.
Oh, I'm with you.
Crosby just never has an opinion on anything about anything. I get it. You know, he's the ultimate. I don't want to rock the boat with anything about anything. Like, I don't know. I mean, dude, the guy's been in the league for 12 years. I've heard him talk twice, I think. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you see him in Tim Hortons commercials, but... He is very Jordan-like, where, and it's not just, it's his personality. I don't think he's a coward or, like, he really does go back to Nova Scotia and sit on a lake all year. Like, he doesn't socialize with people. Like, he works out with players, but he doesn't drink. He doesn't socialize. He's not on social media. He doesn't have a sense of humor in real life. He really is just a boring kid.
Yep. No, I'm with you. And I that's the thing, too, right? I mean, like, we can commend Sagan. We can commend Zach Smith and Jonathan Toews. And I'm not saying that, you know, Toews and Sagan aren't stars in their sport. But until the marquee star like a Sidney Crosby or a Connor McDavid steps up, you know, and really puts a heartfelt statement out there, how much change are we going to see? You know, and here's the thing, too. Like, we said, and I'll circle back to when we began, Gabe, I'm just, you know, I'm interested to see months from now, are these players, are these athletes still using their platform, or have they moved on? They just did it because it was in vogue and it was trendy to do. And, you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see how far they take this, because, you know, the famous saying is actions speak louder than words. Well, if there was ever a time for everyone here to act, it's now. And I really hope that a guy like Crosby, I think that's a great point by you. I really hope he chimes in here.
All right. So the Vegas Golden Knights have released a statement, and it's not going over very well. So this is what I'm talking about. And listen, we're in a cancel culture right now, right? And of course, Wendy's is the latest. Turns out Wendy's, The CEO of Wendy's is like good friends with Trump. It's like raised like $12 million for him. So there's a big cancel Wendy's. So now people have seen that Bill Foley, the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights, is a big Trump donor. And, you know, I'm reading a statement here. So I don't know what people are upset about the statement. Vegas Golden Knights vehemently condemn racism in all its forms, prejudice, violence, and bigotry. We have no place in our society. We understand significant reforms are needed. In order to create lasting, meaningful change, it will end in the systematic discrimination and injustice that have existed for far too long. We firmly stand in solidarity with all of those who peacefully seek to inspire change. We believe in protecting those who are unable to protect themselves. We're committed to working with all of our neighbors, regardless of race, creed, gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic class, to help our commitment and our nation together as one. So, So, what are people's problem with this? Like, that's what I just said before. That if a hockey team says something, they're going to get called out. If they don't say anything, like,
can't win.
I don't understand. Like, you know, listen, if people want to bitch about who he gives money to. And here's a dirty little secret for you bozos that don't know this out there. I guarantee you Wendy's gave money to the Democrats as well. They play both sides, guys. That's what companies do. They donate to everybody. Yeah, they might give like more to one side, but even Trump himself admitted, Jimmy, remember? He goes, oh, yep. I used to give to Democrats all the time just to bite them off. Remember he even said, like, he donated to Hillary Clinton.
God, it's unreal, isn't it?
It's a dirty little
I don't know how we got here. And like, look, yeah, I'm like, with you. I want the sports back.
They're the same donors. So anyways, I just want to throw that out there for the moment.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's interesting. And, you know, I want to see you talk about some of these owners that have supported Trump. Okay, your team puts out that statement. But you know what would really say something right now is Foley coming out and saying, I was wrong about this guy. I'm embarrassed that I supported him, and I no longer support him, and I'm against everything he says right now. To see someone come out and admit their mistakes would speak so much more.
Yeah, but they don't. They're and he's not. They don't, though. That's the whole point. They're not. Like, honestly, like, you think Bill Foley right now, you think his biggest concern is George Floyd? No. He's hoping that Vegas is a hub city, and he's wondering if these riots are going to affect it. But on a lighter note, actually, and it's not lighter, but whatever, if you notice, Minneapolis was a hub city, scratch. People are like, it's a lot of Las Vegas. Yeah, really? Vegas? I said, no. Yeah, you wanted the strip open? Yeah, the strip's open. There's like mass shooting. Last night got really ugly in Vegas. Like, Vegas is not even protesting. Basically, they just started shooting at each other. Like, a cop got shot in the face outside of Circus. A U.S. Marshal died outside a federal courthouse. People tried to storm the federal courthouse, and someone just shot the marshal. He died. The cops shot, I believe, the guy that shot the marshal. He died. Vegas. And listen, I lived in Vegas as well, and I've always told people that. I don't think people realize the level of violence that's in Vegas. Like, things like people go to the strip and they think that, oh, you know, it's all great and the buffet and the pool and all that. Yeah. Well, turn left behind the casino. Mm. You know, go up the hill. You know what I mean? Go into downtown Vegas and things, you know, suddenly it's not so touristy and not so friendly down there. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of just sort of crazy people out there. I'm telling you, people don't really realize Nevada and Las Vegas, there's a lot of gangbangers and you know, just crazy sort of criminal types. It's nothing about a protest, those guys last night in Vegas, you know. You know, when you go out and, like, you know, you don't accidentally shoot a U.S. Marshal, you know what I'm saying?
They clearly went out there and just said,
you know what, we're going to start shooting at cops. And if we get shot, we get shot. Like, it's the thing that's sad that people just, that there's no, like, people, no one has value for human life anymore. Like, there's no empathy. And that's something that bothered me through the pandemic as well. Oh, it's fake. It's this. It's only that. It's like, guys, it's over 100,000 people dead. Like, you know, less than 3,000 people died in 9/11. And, you know, we mourn it, you know, after. If 9/11 happened now, what do people, imagine people would say, well, you know what, 75% of the people in the tower were 60 years or older, right? So, you know. All right, that's the way it is. Like, there's no empathy anymore whatsoever anywhere. Get on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Morency Unfiltered continues. Got one last segment left here with Murphy's Law, Jimmy Murphy. And, you know, it's interesting, interesting times right now, to say the least. Is there going to be any end in sight? And, you know, will sports, people always talk about sports healing and stuff, but yeah, this is deeper than sports. I don't see how a basketball game is going to heal anybody right now. And the problem is, you talked about it earlier about, you know, you're unfollowing people or you're blocking people and people are telling you they don't like your opinions and stuff like that. This is something that always bothered me about sports fans and why I never get upset when players like don't like fans or don't sign stuff, and because of the things that are said to them. Like, look, I'm a diehard Raptor fan and it makes me sick, man. Kyle Lowry's busted his ass for the Toronto Raptors, man, for like 7 years, 8 years he's been on the team. He's been through hell and back, up and down, breaks through. He's been a great ambassador for the city and the team. And I'm telling you, dude, the second the guy misses a couple of three-point shots in a game, bro, you know, the names and, you know, he's a piece of this and that. And I just think, you know, you're all just so ungrateful. And, you know, Jalen Rose brought it up, the basketball player. Like, how many of these racist pieces of crap are, you know, are big NFL fans? A ton of them, right? So, yeah, you're a fan of the team, but you don't care if the guy on the team gets shot by the cops after, right? Like, you know, I've seen it, you know, college football's like that. You know, like these LSU fans and Alabama fans and the things that they say about their own players. And, you know, it's amazing, like, how many ignorant people are, like, big LeBron James fans as far as basketball, but they're not a fan of him and his pain. They're not a fan. They won't listen or empathize with anything that he says. It's just, no, you're an entertainer. Shut up. And it's all that whole shut up and dribble stuff, right? Just shut up and play. You're not this, you're not that. Yet, you know, people need to empathize. Nobody empathizes with anybody. And I think, you know, basically there's so many white fans that just look at players as just sort of, you know, pieces of meat, so to speak. And then the fans have the freaking nerve to step up and tell the players, you're lucky that you get to play this game. I wish I get to play this game. Well, it's too bad you're a fat-ass loser that has no talent, so you don't get to play that game. Like, I love that. Like, you're lucky you get to play a kid's game and stuff, you know? That stuff just, it pisses me off.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, and like I said, it's coming, it's with the media now too, where they come at us, Gabe, and they're just like, shut up, Murphy, talk some sports. We don't need to hear your opinion about anything else in life. You're not here for that. I'm not here for that. Like, I'm a human being. I've got a heart, I've got a brain, and I got an opinion. And, you know, I admire those athletes. Like I said, I admit I was wrong about Colin Kaepernick, but I'm admiring him now, and I'm admiring people that do take the platform they have and the reach they have or the money they have to get an actual constructive message out there, to get something that's going to give back to society. What's wrong with that? You know, as long as you're not hurting anyone doing it, what's wrong with it? Like, isn't that what you'd want from an athlete? I mean, we always complain that, oh, these athletes aren't idols anymore and they're spoiled brats and they're this and they're that and they're that. Well, you want them to be idols. You want them to set an example, and you get a guy like LeBron James. You get other athletes like that saying something and speaking up, and then you bash them. So, in other words, you know what it is, Gabe? It's just this society likes to bitch. That's all, you know, we like to do.
It's bitch. That's it. Well, there's a fake outrage of the day. Right, that's a good point. There's a fake outrage of the day
every day
on social media. But when there's something really to be outraged about, then everybody's silent.
Right? Yeah. Nobody wants to lose their jobs.
Well, they don't like Tim Horton's new coffee, so they'll rip stuff. But, you know, I think more and more, though, people, the common person, social media has changed that, where it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to have an opinion.
And, you know, I get it. There's a certain line. I walk a fine line myself on Twitter because, you know, I'm with these networks and all that type of stuff. But at the same point in time, these are days right now where you're sort of, you know, you're sort of going to be judged, Jimmy. You're sort of on the right side of history or you're not. You know what I mean? Like, this is like going back to the 60s and saying, well, you better shut up. That's how stuff continues. And it's funny because that's, you know, I want to bring that up about Colin Kaepernick. The reason, they said, well, we're not against Colin Kaepernick. We just don't like the fact that he's a distraction. Right? And look at the distraction it has become now, if they just would have addressed this earlier. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like they brought it upon themselves. And as you stated, dude, you know, we got this virus, this pandemic. There's no social distancing going on whatsoever anymore. Even if people are wearing masks.
That's the thing, too.
It's going to hit. And it's just, you know, people, like I said, too, earlier, there was no empathy for the people that had the virus before or that were dying of the virus, Jimmy, right? It's like it was a political thing to wear a freaking mask before. Like, if people can't agree on wearing a mask or not, how the hell are we ever going to agree on deeper issues?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's something. And, I think that when you bring up what's going on there where there's no social distancing. Yeah, you know, somebody came at me, a conservative guy came at me on Twitter. And he says, well, I don't see you calling out the protesters for not social distancing right now, Jimmy. I mean, isn't that kind of hypocritical? And I go, you know what? It's a good point. You're right. And so I did. And he was right. And that, like, I think we need to learn when to admit we're wrong and when to see the other side. I'm not agreeing with everything this guy has to say in terms of how he views Trump or how he views politics, but he made a good point there. I mean, I can't sit there for the last 2 months and bash people for not wearing a mask and not social distancing and then condone what's going on now. However, as I said to him, you know, if it's something you truly believe in, like you're going out there, you're wearing the mask at least. They're different than the protesters that showed up at the State House in Michigan. Those guys weren't wearing masks. They were wearing bulletproof vests. There's a big freaking difference. No mask, bulletproof vest, and AK-47. Please do not compare them to peaceful protesters, you know, that are out there for injustice and racial equality and Floyd. I think that's a bit hypocritical, but I do agree. They need to watch it here because there's going to be a lot that comes from this. It's just like it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, well, that, to me, that's the biggest problem of today's society is people don't listen, right? Like, no one will ever admit they're wrong or say, hey, you know what? That's a good point. You know, they'll double down on their own side, right?
Yeah. I'm wrong 99% of the time, so it's easy.
Yeah, but I do it all the time. Listen, I'll ask people, I'll say, explain to me why. You know, I had a guy yesterday, I said, man, in Toronto, and I've seen on the news and stuff, there's, you know, there was like 10 people died in Toronto yesterday, 400 new cases, and a bunch of millennials aren't wearing masks anywhere. And in downtown areas, you know, only the store workers are and stuff, and it's not mandatory.
What was that park, Marenti, that
Oh, Trinity Bellwoods. Yeah. It was like Woodstock in there. You saw that. Yeah. So I tweeted out. I said, you know, it's kind of sad. And, you know, I got people saying, no, I think it's good that we're not falling for that mask bullshit. So I said, well, what mask bullshit? I said, you know, kind of protects the workers. And Buddy just went right into, I don't trust Trudeau. Like, that's not a conversation. You know what I mean? And then he sent me another tweet, de Blasio and Cuomo, a losing combination. It's like, that's not, like, it's just basically like his bumper sticker.
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
I don't know. No, I don't know, dude. Like, I didn't even respond. I like the guy, too, but I don't care enough to, like, waste my time with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the low levelness of all sides, though. I see it on all sides. You know, the right are ignorant, but, you know, left will handpick what they choose too, right?
Oh, they
you know, they'll overlook stuff. I mean, look, dude, yesterday Joe Biden said cops shouldn't shoot kill people. They should shoot them in the leg instead. And he means that. You know what I mean? Like, he means that. He thinks it'd be nice. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not some, like, reformer here, Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, he still says, oh, and the blacks. You know what I mean? Like, he's just one of these, like, We're so doomed, bro. After all this, you know what? Like, bring sports back, actually. Please, bring sports back. We need sports.
Yeah, yeah. And how about you? I like you just like, screw it, I'm out of here. I'm moving back to Canada. I love it.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, Canada, listen, you've lived in Canada. You've lived in Montreal before. Montreal is probably the most racist city out of all the cities in Canada, actually. Gabe,
I got to tell you this story, and, you know, you can look her up, too. God bless her. There's a female reporter for CTV Montreal that I'm friends with. Her name's Elizabeth Zagalis. And the other day when they had their protest, she said that the Quebec flag being there was hypocritical, and it resembles the Confederate flag because of all the racism in this province. And she's now on suspension from CTV.
Yeah, that's not going to go over well.
It didn't go over well, but you know what? She's right.
Yeah, you know, though. Nah, but the thing is, Quebecers have been through a lot there too, right? That's why, yeah. it's deep. Like, this is what I don't like when people start comparing each other's pain. My pain worse than your pain. And you know what? Oh, well, we were screwed over more than you were screwed over, so now we're going to tear your statue down. And Quebec, and I tell you, listen, I grew up there. And you want to talk about unrest, dude? I grew up, man. They were blowing up. They used to blow stuff up, Jimmy, when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, look, man.
Oh, yeah.
Pauline Marois, someone tried to shoot her, man, at the last election.
Yep.
And I didn't agree with that lady's politics, but, man, was she badass. Somebody tried to shoot her, and they said, listen, your speech is over. She said, no, it isn't. They said, listen, there's a gunman. She said, I'm finishing my speech. They finally had to pull her off the stage. Because they told her, listen, the guy's dead, like, behind your stage. Like, there's a dead body behind you. You can't talk anymore. But, like, she was so, like, she's that hardcore, Jimmy. Like, she was not, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, like, you get into these Quebecers, bro, and about, like, the separation and the FLQ, the you know, Vive le Quebec and all that type of stuff. So,
but
like, that's why they are the way they are.
Yeah, but there's
English people. English people treated them like shit forever. They were like the losers. They were the ones working in the warehouses for no money, and then
they're going to go after minorities.
Yeah, so no, they got control. No, but they really don't. That's the thing. Quebec is a dynamic place. Like, you know, listen, Quebec brings in Haitians all the time because they speak French.
Yep.
You know what it is? Quebec cops are racist. That's what it is. You get into it, and there's just sort of that. But, yeah, never a good idea to talk about the Quebec flag in Quebec.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're ready to back it up with something.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, though, I mean, when I lived there, and even before when I lived there, I'd still come up there. And, you know, we have a mutual friend in Ronnie Nurse. He used to be in the hardcore scene, the punk scene there. And, you know, I went to a couple shows where he was playing with Grim Skunk, and they were playing out in, I don't know, Longueuil maybe, or maybe out north. I forget where we were, but it was the stick, man. We were deep in Quebec, and the N word starts flying at the show, and he got up there and handled it with such dignity, right? Where he said, "Look, you can say what you want. I'm here to play music. If you don't like it, fuck off." And that's all he said. And he could have jumped in the crowd and went after the guy. We knew who it was. Well, he didn't do it, but the rest of the band did. And the place turned into a giant brawl, and we didn't finish the concert. So, but,
yeah, that's sad. You know what I've always said, though? Quebec, when you get into the sticks of Quebec, it's very like the South.
I think that's where she was going. I agree with you. She went a little overboard. But I think that's what she was trying to get at. Is that a lot of it does resemble the South. There is a lot of that inbred hatred there. And, you know, it carries
down.
Quebec
is so crazy, though. They just don't like, you know, they don't like other languages.
But they don't like Americans, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, you know what? They like Americans more than Canadians.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, no, they like Americans. You know, dude, there's people in Quebec, in rural Quebec. I've seen it firsthand. They'll have a Quebec flag and a U.S. flag. The U.S. stands for kind of more for them than what Canada does. It's kind of, you know, you know, listen, I don't even want to get into it. I'm from Quebec, and I'm not even qualified to talk about Quebec.
Yeah,
it's too complicated. You need 18 PhDs.
Hey, we got to go back to our buddy, the Orange Man here. Did you see the tweet that just went out?
No.
My administration has done more for the black community than any president since Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, well.
That's going to go over well.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's basically a real life sitcom. Unfortunately, there's no laugh track. there's no laugh track. Everything is just deadpan. Like, oh God. Like nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me anymore.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to block him. Because it's really like, what good do his tweets do for you? You know, like, what good is it bringing? And it just puts you in a bad mood when you read it.
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't block him, but I unfollowed.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I just didn't need to see it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the constant just sort of. If there's something real and there's something substantial, I'll see it. I don't really like following any politicians. Twitter accounts. Yeah, you're sort of like validating them, so to speak. But Jimmy, it's been a pleasure.
My friend. Hopefully, and we talk on. I hope the next time I come on. Yeah, we can talk this, but I hope we're talking some hockey as well.
Yeah. All right. So where can people find you?
At Murphy's Law 74, and you can find my website. It's BostonHockeyNow.com.
And of course, you throw it down with our boy Babano as well, right?
That's right, man. We do a show called The Ice Guys once a week on Monday. We'll be doing it every day when the games start up again. But Ian's a great guy. Good stuff. Oh, by the way, I'll give you a good future bet to do. In the West, you want to take the Jets, and in the East, you want to take the Rangers. You get great money on that
Jets
right now.
Jets versus the Rangers. All right, so good. I actually like the Jets. I've been thinking about the Jets as someone to sleep
with. Yeah, man, get the best goalie in hockey. Connor
Hellebuyck. Always a pleasure, Jimmy.
All right, buddy. Cheers.
Thank
Stay
you.
Safe.
Thank Bye. You.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.